Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I mean, if you see someone in a wheelchair, you go, oh, their legs don't work. But neither does the plumbing and neither do my organs. And I think just because they're socially unacceptable topics to put on social media, well, I don't really think that's a reason not to put it on.
Well, we've all been pushed around.
Hello and welcome to It's Complicated with me, Tanya Gooden. The podcast to help you untangle your relationship with your phone.
Because we've all been pushed around.
This is a podcast about learning to live healthily and happily with technology and the digital world, and understanding why sometimes it's so hard to do. Because if we learn how to step away from our phones more, we'll be learning how to step in more to our lives, improving our relationships, our work, and our health.
Because we've all been swept away, yeah.
I'm your host, Tanya Gooden, author and founder of digital wellbeing movement Time to Log Off. Each week I'll be asking a new guest what they've learned about the relationship with the tiny tyrant in their pocket, their smartphone. So, welcome to Series 4. Can't believe we're on Series 4 already. I'm really happy to be launching this series with a chat with 3-time Olympic gold medalist rower Pete Reed, OBE. I've always been really fascinated by Olympians and what it takes mentally and physically to perform at such a high level. And rowing is a particularly punishing and demanding sport. I've actually known Pete for a few years, which we explain in our chat. And as well as being one of the most decorated rowers ever for Team GB, he's recently found himself with a particular challenge to overcome, which surpasses anything he's had to deal with in his rowing career. He's one of the nicest and most modest guys, despite such a glittering list of achievements. And also, I think you'll agree with me after you've heard this interview, one of the most inspiring.
Pete, it's so lovely to be talking to you.
It's been a while, eh?
It has really been a while. I thought I would start actually just by explaining to the listeners how long I've known you and when I met you, because the kind of journey that you've been on in that period of time has been quite phenomenal. So I met you in 2012. You probably don't remember this, but in my old life, I ran a digital business, and you and Anna Watkins came after 2012 to kind of talk about your gold medal winning rows, both of you. One of the highlights for me was actually holding your medal. It was incredible. And you brought the Beijing medal as well, I think.
That was probably just to annoy Anna, I think.
Yeah, I seem to remember she was a bit annoyed about that. And it was huge. Wasn't the Beijing medal really huge?
The London one was much bigger.
I remember one of them was a lot bigger. And you won. You were the first gold medal on Super Saturday. I remember watching that. And then we met a couple of years later after I'd written my first book, Off. And I remember us kind of talking about that.
It was nice to connect with you again over that. I mean, and I know we'll talk about it later on, but that really resonated with me. So, yeah, well, thanks for writing that. I think it's really important. And as we go on, it's getting more and more important.
Yeah, well, I think I remember you posting a lot at the time, actually, on your feed about how important it was for people to put their devices down. You know, that was kind of one of your messages at the time, that I was seeing a lot of you saying that.
That's right. It was 2018 then. So 2018, I did something on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter, and I challenged myself to give a tangible piece of athlete advice every single day of the year.
Every day of the year, yes. Yeah.
So from the 1st of January 2018, putting up something important and from my experience or something I'd learned from people along my journey to help athletes and indeed anyone that wanted to have a read, but 365 pieces of advice. It was a real epic, but we got it done. And that was one of them about turning off your kit.
I remember, yeah. And that was so popular, that series. I remember lots of people retweeting that and commenting on that. And me thinking, gosh, the effort involved every day to come up with something.
Goodness, yeah. It was so well received, but it really was hard work. And I wasn't doing it for anything. I didn't have an agenda. It became very busy at a very busy time of life. You know, that was the year I hung up my oar from rowing. Not related to the Instagram project, but it was time. So when suddenly I found myself with the life that I knew so well from all my adult years turned upside down and still continuing with this athlete advice project. And it's still up there. People can go back and have a look. So, yeah, that was a labour of love.
So by then, of course, you've got your third gold medal because you got gold in Rio in the 8 in 2016. Again, I remember watching that amazing, amazing race.
Oh, another good day.
Yeah, it was brilliant this end watching it, I have to say.
Thank you, Tanya.
And then you went back to your Navy career, because I don't know, all the listeners might not know, you're actually a Lieutenant Commander in the Royal Navy.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember being in touch with you, I think last summer or last Easter, we talked about you being on the podcast. But then something happened to you in September last year, which is why I am currently speaking to you from a military rehab facility. Do you mind talking about what happened? Are you kind of fed up with everyone asking you
that? No, I don't mind at all. I'm not fed up with people asking. I think it's interesting for most. I mean, not many people have access, I suppose, to disability. Some do, some don't. I think I've just given away the story there, but I've had a life changer. I think it's cathartic for me to talk about it as well, but it's not an emotional strain in any way. So in September last year, I was training with the military and I had an accident, a trauma, an injury, but I went to hospital to find out what it was. It wasn't something acute that just happened, but I found that I had a spinal stroke. So they are rare. A stroke is when you get some sort of blood clot or some impingement in the brain or a reduction in the supply of blood to your brain, and then parts of your brain cells die. And that's why you get one side of your brain being affected. Now, very, very rarely, I think 1% of all strokes are spinal strokes. So you don't hear about them so often, but I'm hearing cases more and more through social media and people reaching out. So they are some sort of blood loss or impingement or blood clot that prevents blood from getting through the arteries that to supply your spinal cord with oxygen. So your spinal cord obviously reaches from your neck down to your coccyx, right down your spine. And when you get a restriction in oxygen, then the cells in your spinal cord die. Now, your spinal cord is like a motorway for traffic, neural traffic that sends messages down to the lower part of your body. And when you have some sort of impingement there, it's like the motorway is closed. So mine is right in the middle of my spine, in the middle of my back, and messages flow perfectly down to my arms. They're normal, and my chest is normal. Mercifully, my diaphragm is as well, and my parts of my upper back are strong. But if you go below my chest, then it's like my body speaks a different language now. So my legs are almost completely flaccid, as is my core. And it's a complete relearning of the language that your lower body speaks. It's a minefield, and it's fascinating, and it's traumatic, and it's upsetting and heartbreaking and fascinating and sometimes funny. It's just a massive mix. So that's where we are. That was 8.5 months ago. And since then, I've been through amazing NHS care. I mean, it would be wrong of me not to mention the NHS, but in Derriford Hospital, on Moorgate Ward and Merivale Ward, the staff there looked after me tremendously well. And I never ever thought I'd have to be looked after in the way the nursing staff looked after me. But it's like being a baby again. They take care of every aspect of your life like a mother would for a baby, and it's really shocking. And from there, I went to Salisbury Spinal Unit, who specialise in spinal cord injuries, to get educated on how to look after myself. And normally, when you discharge from there, it's because you're educated enough to go back into the real world and fend for yourself. But I'm very, very fortunate to be in the military, so I've got extended rehab time to really try and get everything out of my body that I can on this long, probably 2-year process.
I was just about to ask that and say, how long, what's the kind of next phase for you? Or don't you know? Is it a kind of, how long is a piece of string?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. So I'm learning all the time, and the general medical consensus is it from the first 2 years of your recovery is when you'll see the vast, vast majority of any progress. And progress, a lot of people think progress is related to how positive you are or how determined you are. But in actual fact, it's down to the magnitude of the injury. Let's say all 6 lanes of the motorway were just wiped out. I mean, sometimes there's a complete injury and there's no coming back from it, no matter how positive you are. In my case, it was an enormous stroke, and I went down to 0 for a very long time. But maybe it's not a single lane open yet, if I'm going to abuse this metaphor, but there's a footpath that's open. And I think if I didn't have this rehab time, the footpath would get overgrown and it would be very hard to get any messages through. But actually, the staff here, they're incredible, and they're helping me clear that footpath to make maybe a bridle way, or maybe one day in a few months' time, it might be a lane. So we don't know the prognosis. We don't know how much is there, but I think we can be pretty sure that with the help I'm getting, that I'll get back everything that's possible to get back. And that's my, I'm very, very motivated, and that's where I'm getting it from, just to try and claw back whatever I can.
I saw that you said, I think it was actually in the interview with Matthew Pinsent, when you said you felt that your athlete mindset was actually really helping you in rehab. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I really think it's hugely helping, actually. The parallels, the daily parallels between my old life as an athlete, and that's really all of my adult life has been involved in rowing. The parallels are extraordinary between the challenges that an athlete faces, sometimes being too slow, sometimes thriving, having to set a goal of winning an Olympic gold medal, and you know that goal is months and years away, and then having to break that extraordinary goal where the standard to get a gold medal at the next Olympics is something that you think is unattainable. And now walking again seems completely unattainable. But just like we broke down the challenge in the numbers of seconds faster we needed to get, now I'm very good at breaking down a challenge to what I need to do by the end of this month and the end of this week and the end of this day and the end of this session and the end of this set of exercises. So that's my bread and butter, and that's just how I'm hardwired now after so many years of rowing. And I use what I learned with the people I learned and to help me every single day. And it makes a huge difference, actually. I feel very, very lucky that way. And not least because those people that I did it with are still there and they're still in my camp and they still look out for me and still get a call. So it's a big advantage to have that mindset of, you know, not getting down when you get beaten and putting yourself out there. It's same process for rehab.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I did see yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that you, I mean, I kind of let out a little yelp when I saw it. You were opening a pedal bin with your foot.
Yeah, I did. I read your message. Thank you so much for that. And that very, very short video, 10 seconds long or so, has been so well received from the public. And
it was amazing. Yeah.
It's so amazing. It felt, and that was, it wasn't the first take, but it was immediately after I did it for the first time. And I was so pleased because, well, pedal bins, for example, is just one thing that the able-bodied community, and I don't blame you, by the way, because I was able-bodied for a long time and I didn't think about these things, but you just don't think about them.
You take them for granted.
Yeah. You take them for granted, of course. Yeah. And why wouldn't you? But when bins are one of those pedal bins, I've had so many occasions where I've wheeled up to one and you can't even get them open with your fingers because the bin closes so so flush. So then you're just looking at it, and I try and do wheelies in my wheelchair to try and get my front wheels to press down on the pedal. And everything is funny, like I said, and hard and a challenge. But moving my right foot out, being able to move it out and press down with my toes and move it back onto my wheelchair, so good. It's a real win. It's a real glow. And the strange thing about those wins is, and I promise you, that they are as satisfying as winning a race or pulling a personal best. The feeling you get from lifting the biggest bench press you've ever done is the same as pressing that bin down. The goalposts have shifted quite considerably, but I still get the same satisfaction. And I think that's what keeps me motivated.
So did you know you were going to be able to do it? Or had you felt movement in your foot before? Or did you just think, I'm going to give this a go, and it worked? What was the...
So I didn't know I could do it, but strength has been improving over the last few weeks, really. I think since lockdown, I had a break between emissions here, and there's just a little bit more muscle firing going on. So a tiny bit of firing, tiny bit of movement, and a tiny bit of strength behind my right leg extension, which is making it straight, and flexion is bending it. And then your foot goes up and down is dorsal or plantar flexion. And those parts have been starting to move again. I just thought, I think I can piece this one together, and just gave it a go. And it was very weak, but...
Well, it worked, didn't it? You lifted the lid. Yeah.
it worked, and we recycled the cup, and I went away smiling. Yeah. That was great.
Fantastic. I think there are a lot of people who follow you who were cheering when they saw that. I was cheering.
Oh, yeah. So nice. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone. If you're listening and you followed me and you put a comment on, thanks for your warm glows as well. We're getting there.
What's that been like? I was going to ask you about that, because you always had a very engaged community following you all the way through your sporting career. What's it been like now with, what you're dealing with? Are you finding the same amount of support?
So, yes, a tremendous amount. And it's a very committed and great bunch of people that follow me. And I think they are engaged. I'm not an expert in social media at all. I use it. I've got a funny relationship with it where I wish I didn't use it or didn't have to. I think social media can be quite a bad place for so many, but I try and make it good. I try and not put out sponsored stuff or ad stuff. I try and stay away from a sort of social media nonsense that isn't going to help anybody, and try and just put out useful stuff. And I've never chased followers. that hasn't been important to me. And I think because I haven't chased them, the people that do turn up are the ones that want to. And if they don't like my content, they go, and that's great as well. And I'd encourage people to stop following me if they would get off social media. I think there's a wonderful world out there. And a post I put up a couple of years ago went something along the lines of, if social media was to stop tomorrow and it would affect your life, or you wouldn't be happy with your life without social media, then get off social media, because it can be all consuming and there's more to life out there. And that's why I really, really don't want to be an influencer. I think it makes me a bit sad that so many people want to go down that route, because it's...
Well, it's a hollow word, I think, influencer, isn't it? I've always thought, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean? And what happens when everything does get turned off? What are you then? You've got to be more than your followers, your number of followers, or your content, or your channel. There's a big real world out there.
I get the feeling, though, that everyone is really cheering you on at the moment. You've been motivating your followers for the past sort of X years. And I mean, I might be wrong about this, but it feels like they are now cheering you on.
Yeah, they're brilliant. And it really does help me, I think, after I retired from rowing. So that's sort of my public life over. Now I'm a public servant. But I think I stayed on social media because so many people supported me for so long. I sort of felt a bit of a responsibility to give back a bit. And I don't know what I use social media for. I haven't got an agenda or anything like that. I just think I'll put some useful stuff up, or anything that I've learned that might help someone. And that's what I'm putting up at the moment. And it's not totally altruistic. Of course, I'm really getting a big lift from all of the comments and all of the feedback from people. And I try to get back to everybody. Sometimes I can't, because it's just more than 100% of my energy is taken up every day just in rehab. But I do read everything, and it does give me a massive boost. So to everybody who's listening, who's posted and commented and supported me, thank you so much. It blows my mind. And I hate needing support, but I do. And I'll confess to that. I'm not too proud to say that. And it comes in, and it's amazing, and very, very humbling. So thank you again.
So one of the things I know about you is that you won the boat race for Oxford in 2005, but you lost the boat race for Oxford, Pete, on Saturday, didn't you?
Thanks, Tanya.
Tell us about that, because you managed to take part in a sporting event while in rehab.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I got contacted not so long ago, actually, maybe 2 weeks ago now, by a guy called John Willis, who's the founder of a charity called Power to Inspire. And you can find them on social media at Power to Inspire UK.
I'm now following them, yeah.
So they're a wonderful charity. I didn't know them before. They're very small, but what they do is use sport to promote inclusivity with able-bodied people and disabled people. So, and the mantra is, everybody has fun, no one's left on the bench.
I love that line, no one's left on the bench. As someone who's left on the bench a lot as a child in sporting events, that really spoke to me. I think that's a great line.
Isn't it brilliant? And it's great for both sides. It's not like a charity for looking after disabled people. I think able-bodied people have so much to learn from the disabled community, and it will only enrich both sides. And sport is so important. Of course, I'm going to say that, but there's so many benefits to life that sport brings. So having a charity that actively organises events and games to get people involved in sport is amazing. So the charity is great. The event that John conceived just worked so beautifully well. It was I was getting involved in sport again, and my scores, they were no doubt the worst in my crew. But that didn't matter. They counted towards a crew effort, and which made me care. And, well, you won't believe me, and Cambridge won't believe me, but the result didn't matter to me. I was just thrilled to be involved. I could let that competitive side go. But during the piece, I really wanted to just do my best. And that competitive spirit hasn't gone away. So that was a cracking day. I think it was well received and enjoyed by everybody that watched on Saturday.
It was fantastic. I watched it, yeah. It was really, I couldn't quite work out how it was going to work before it started, but it was really clever the way it was put together, that you were all doing it, you know, virtually.
Yeah, it was clever. And I, to be honest, I didn't know how it was going to work either. But it was great. And it was a 3-minute dash down the boat race course with all of our efforts added up. Brilliant. Loved it. Sport.
So have you thought about a future in sport? I mean, I don't mean but have you thought about sport and you in the future and what that might look like? You know, I've thought about the Paralympics. I must admit, I thought about that quite early on when you were going through what you were going through.
Yeah, I have, and a sport will always be part of my life, and especially rowing. I can't see rowing not being part of my life. But I'm sure that I don't want to be a rower anymore. I first got injured and I was lying in bed and plugged into everything and having a really hard time. And in the first week, I was thinking, right, Paralympics, and even starting to look up Paralympic sports and classifications and things.
Sorry, I just want to pause that. In your first week of this happening, you were doing that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, so maybe it was amazing, but maybe it's sort of delusional as well. So you can't... I've had wonderful Olympic success, but that doesn't mean you'd be a great Paralympian. And to give the Paralympians credit, it would take so long to even be in the right ballpark, to even think about starting a road to... even look at the Paralympics. I was on a long rehab road, and then I started thinking, I'll be 39 next month. I mean, so my strength was always my physiology, and it's not a 39 year old's game. Of course there are older people, but that's not the problem either. I think the problem is I retired from rowing for a few reasons, but one of them was I think I was just satisfied. I was happy with my career for the first time and looking forward to getting back to my career in the Royal Navy. Looking forward to that, as that was more important to me than going to Tokyo, was going back to the Navy and contributing. And so if your fire for training starts to dim, then you know you're done. And so I feel done. I've lost that real burning inferno to go and be away and fight and compete. And I know what, okay, I don't know what it takes to go to the Paralympics. I haven't been, but I feel quite well qualified as a non-Paralympian to say I know what it takes. And it takes everything. It would be a complete change of lifestyle. And actually, and I mean this with all respect to the Paralympians, I think it would be a regression to go back to the start of chapter one again.
On that journey.
I'm just about to start going into chapter two, or at least I was, and then had this injury that shouldn't stop me from going into chapter two again. So that's what I'm thinking about the Paralympics. It might not be my way, and I will sit and watch and be in awe of the Paralympians and thinking it's amazing what you do. And I am with even more respect now that I know what living with a disability involves. The fact that they do what they do is absolutely mind-blowing.
Do you think you'll use your platform to raise awareness of disability? Is that something that... because it feels like you're doing that naturally anyway by talking about your journey, but is it something that you are feeling you could be interested in doing?
Yeah, I think so. But like I said, I still don't know what I use social media for. I think I'm not an activist and I'm not a campaigner naturally. I'm starting to realise that I do have a bit of a public voice, much more than I thought when I was an athlete. You know, as a rower, we're one of eight in a boat, or one of a crew. So you'd never stand up and take the attention for yourself. And now I'm thinking, what do I want to use social media for? I think in my own sort of quiet way, if I can just put some messages out about what having a disability is like, just now and then, so people can have a window into what it's like. And people are most interested in that, I think. But again, it's how much do I want to give away of my life? How much am I prepared to put out there? And some things, you know, some things will always be private, I think, and quite rightly. But I posted about catheters and having to pee in a different way. I think I might do one on bowel care at some point. I mean, it's not a subject that people put out on social media, but I can't criticize social media for being perfection and everyone's showreel if I'm not prepared to put on the hard stuff that actually I think would be useful for able-bodied people to know about, you know.
I have to say, I did laugh when you put that post about how Jeannie now has a hot water bottle in bed.
Yeah.
Thanks to your thanks to your catheter. I mean, I literally laughed and thought, I can't believe you said that. I hadn't thought about some of the issues of being paralysed. I hadn't thought about bowel control or bladder control. It just hadn't occurred to me. So that completely opened my eyes.
And it's not a normal subject, is it, to put out? And I don't blame you for not thinking about it either. I mean, if you see someone in a wheelchair, you go, oh, their legs don't work. Your legs don't work, but neither does the plumbing, and neither do my organs, and neither does the temperature regulation, or the skin doesn't heal properly, or I can't sense temperature. And what are the emotional things that come from all those things? So how do I feel about going from, I don't know, let's say top 99th percentile of physical ability down to the first percentile overnight? It's there's this massive roller coaster of disability, and I think just because they're maybe socially unacceptable topics to put on social media, well, I don't really think that's a reason not to put it on if it would benefit people. Okay, so you don't often put poo and wee stories on and pictures out there, but you know, I'm not Dwayne Johnson or Kim Kardashian. You know, I'd rather put some real content up about what life's really like, and we all have to go through those things, and we all go through challenge and change, and I think that's what's helping a few at the moment, and it does help me as well to offload a bit.
Well, I think when you just said you don't know why you use social media, I think as someone who follows you, I think what you're doing is inspiring people, actually. So that's how it feels to follow you, that it's very inspiring.
No, thanks, Tanya.
So next time you think, why am I doing this? I think, you know, whether you mean to or not, I think it definitely has that impact.
I'll take that. Thanks.
So I really don't want to take up any more of your time because you are in rehab. So I know you've got other things that you need to be doing. I've got three questions that I always ask everyone at the end. I hope it's okay. We've touched on quite a bit throughout this about kind of phone and tech habits and digital habits. But if you had one message for everyone listening, something you'd like them to think about or bear in mind about their phone or technology habits, what would it be?
I think be very careful with what you see on social media. It's often half truths or worse, and it's people's showreels of their lives. It's not reality. So don't get drawn into that, and certainly don't compare your lives to the very best and brightest that you see on social media. Your life's awesome and real, and that one's probably made up.
Probably a lot of them 100% fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have a kind of tip or something that you use that helps you get a balance or a perspective about how you use social media and your phone and technology? Is there any kind of little messages you say to yourself or rules you have about not using phones in certain situations?
I feel a bit hypocritical saying this because I use my phone too much and I use social media too much and I look at it a bit too often, but
literally everyone does, Pete, who's listening to this podcast, including me. So don't feel bad about that.
Okay, well, it's a horrible thing. But so here would be my advice. Okay, so partner up with somebody. It doesn't matter who it is, your buddy or your partner or your someone from your family, and commit to each other to do something together for an hour every day. And you can make it the same hour if you want to. Let's say 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. And not only that, but write down what you do together in that time. So it can't be on your phone. This is phone off time. Switch your phone off. Do something together, whether that's, it could be streaming something or making something or baking. But this is the key part. The advice is then write down in your diaries what you did for that. For that hour, because it makes you sort of accountable. It firms up something. And after 3 or 4 days, you wouldn't dream of missing filling in what you did for that hour with that other person. And the reason why I say do it with another person is because it's quite easy to let yourself down. Willpower is quite tough there, but very few people will let someone that they love down. So once you've committed to something with another person, do it, write it down, and for that hour, have your phone off, and you'll see actually just how much you don't need it and how much enjoyment you get from that mindful time with your friend.
I absolutely love that. I think that's a fantastic tip. And I'm going to try that, I think. I really like the idea of writing it down. I think that makes a big difference.
No. That's important. You know, that's like keeping a food diary. No one wants to write down I had 5 Mars bars, so you don't have them. Keeps you honest, doesn't it?
And my last question, what do you think you've learned about yourself over the years of using technology, using your phone, having a social media following, using the digital world?
Oh, I love tech. I want to live to a grand old age just to see what tech's available and what, I mean, I find it fascinating what latest tech can do. It's exciting and it's a toy and it can help life as long as it is exciting and a toy and helps life. You know, you never want to get to the stage where you're bombarded. I think I've got too much, less is more. And to use what you've got as well. I think very often people are chasing the latest one or need the very latest phone or camera, and I fall into that camp. But actually things that you own don't get worse just because a new one comes out. So make use of what you've got. Less is more. Don't overdo it. And then you start to realize that there's more to life than tech. I mean, that's what COVID has brought out. It's horrible, and what's happening at the moment is horrible, but you know, people are finding real enjoyment and peace and slowing down and reconnecting with people, not through social media, but actually looking them in the eye and spending time with the people that they're in a household with. That's what I think about tech. It's a tool and it's a blessing, but there's peace in nature, and I can't wait to be back out there.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely. I think that's the perfect place to finish. So thank you so much, Pete. It's been brilliant talking to you. I wish we were face-to-face and eye-to-eye, but hopefully we'll be able to do that sometime soon.
Yeah, let's make sure it's not too long. It'd be really great to see you. I think we owe each other a coffee and a nice somewhere or other at some point, and when things start to get to this new normal that we're all talking about. But it'd be nice to just sit down, turn our phones off and have a chat and catch up.
Yeah, that'd be great. But thanks so much. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Talk to you soon. All the best, Tanya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps other people find us and it means you get a helpful little notification when a new episode becomes available. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And both my books, Off and Stop Staring at Screens, are available on Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.